Let us pray. We've set our hope on you, O God, the living God. We need your help to keep on course. We need fresh sight of you. Let this time of hearing your word be a checkpoint for us. Show us where we are, where you hope we will be. You are near as well as far, accompanying as well as beckoning. Make this time a meeting place between our mind, our minds, and your mind. Draw us closer to you, each one, so we may see the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Let us read together the first scripture, which is the 121st Psalm. It's printed in your bulletin. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Will you read with me? I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time on and forevermore. Amen. And our second lesson for today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Very truly, said Jesus, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it was about 30 years ago, and it's still going on, isn't it? The conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And in the late 1980s, the Israeli army decided to punish a village near Bethlehem for not paying its taxes. And of course they said, why should we pay our taxes? It's simply going to finance our occupation. The officer in command rounded up all the animals of the village and he put them in a big pen surrounded by barbed wire. Well, later in the week, a woman came and begged him to release her flock. She argued that since her husband had died, she didn't have any other source of livelihood. Well, the officer pointed to the pen with hundreds of animals in it, and he said, you know, how am I going to be able to find your flock? And she said, if I can find my flock, if I can separate them my sheep from the rest, then will you be willing to let me take them?" And so he agreed. Well, a soldier opened the gate, and her son, standing next to her, took out a small reed flute, kind of like our recorders, and began to play a tune over and over again, the same tune, over and over again. And pretty soon, the heads of some sheep started popping up, and they started moving toward the gate. And he kept playing and playing, and these 25 sheep followed him all the way home. They followed him because they knew his voice. Well, Jesus is our shepherd, and he calls his sheep by name. We just read in the scripture, he calls his sheep by name and leads them out. And he knows each one of us far better than we know ourselves. Well, the question for us is, are we listening? Are we listening for Jesus? And do we really know his voice? Well, when I was pregnant, I did a lot of reading about the developing fetus. I was all excited. I wanted to know about everything that was happening. And I came to read about how babies begin to learn to hear. By 6 months in the womb, they can hear. And of course, what they hear the most is their mother's own voice, right? And so, by the time a baby is born, it is actually possible to measure infants' response to voices. And the voices that they respond to the most, scientists have found, physicians have found, are the higher pitched voices, because they are so used to hearing their mother's voice. Well, by the time they're 3 months of age, a baby can recognize the unique voice of his or her mother, and a lot of times they wanted to be comforted by that person with that voice. Well, I believe that it is the hope of all loving parents, mothers and fathers, that the voice of the mother and the father will be heard in their children's minds and hearts throughout life, giving the child a sense of self-worth, a knowledge that she is loved, and values and guidance for life's journey. Now, these are the very same hopes that God has for every one of us and for people of all times and all places, that you and I will be able to hear God's voice affirming our worth and guiding us through life's journey when we hang out with Jesus, as we heard in our children's story, by reading the scripture, by coming to worship, by praying, and by being in fellowship with others who are trying to follow him. We come to recognize his voice. We come to know the truth of Jesus' words that we read today. And I'm going to read them now in the Message. It's a little bit different. "I am the gate," said Jesus. "Anyone who goes through me will be cared for." That's what it means to be saved, to be cared for, and will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to kill and destroy and steal. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Well, that's God's dream for everyone. That is God's dream, his earnest desire, that we are cared for, all of us on this planet in all time, and that we live our lives freely, finding all that we need to live, that we enjoy real life, more life, better life, eternal life. God wants this for everyone. But sadly, Jesus' voice is often drowned out by so many other voices. So many other voices that are vying for our attention and for our allegiance. And we find it difficult to differentiate between voices that lead to life and false voices that are really only leading to unfulfilling and often destructive and dangerous paths. And we know that it is a tough world and that dangers are real. Now, I could list all kinds of dangers for us, but one danger that I think maybe everybody here might be familiar with at one time or another is the danger of exhaustion, physical, emotional, and spiritual exhaustion. Because when a person is exhausted, haven't you noticed this for yourself or for those that you live with? It's harder and harder to have your perceptions be clear. You become increasingly skewed in your perceptions. You become irritable. Things that wouldn't really bother you if you weren't exhausted, now they really bother you. And you know, exhaustion shows us the importance of something that God's voice spoke from the beginning. You know, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? But the Sabbath day means rest. It means rest, that we need rest. And we become so alienated from our source if we don't have that kind of rest. We are alienated from ourselves, from each other. We know this about sin. We need our spiritual center. You know, Marva Dawn is a Lutheran theologian who struggled with so many physical problems. And she once wrote, "A great benefit of Sabbath keeping is that we learn to let God take care of us, not by becoming passive and lazy, but in the freedom of giving up our feeble attempts to be God in our own lives." Now, maybe not all of us face that temptation, but many of us do, to be trying to attempt to completely control our own lives. We need God. We need to hear the Good Shepherd. And we become so preoccupated with the demands of life, the activities, the tasks that we must complete, and we become convinced that we must take care of all these things, and we must take care of ourselves, and that only leads, my friends, to fear. That only leads to a fearful feeling. I was sitting in the pastor's study today, and your new pastor has some things in there. Your new interim has some of her books and other things in there. And I looked up, and there is a little tiny plaque that says, "Fear is useless, faith is priceless." Now, isn't that was just like, wow, that's just it, you know? Fear is useless, faith is priceless. Well, Jesus used this image of sheep to try to teach his audience, who were familiar with sheep, all about this importance of following. And you know, the sheep were very vulnerable in the deserts of Judea. There were predators everywhere at that time, and there were cliffs, eroded cliffs, that you would not see coming up, and all of a sudden, boom, 1,000-foot drop. And you know, sheep are in the habit of just kind of following one another. Aren't people also kind of in the habit of just kind of following one another? Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's really bad to follow one another. Well, there's kind of a little story here of a little girl. She was a toddler. And George Malko wrote this story. He's a journalist in New York City. He was having dinner with his friends, and they had a little daughter, Jill. And they gave Jill a cup of apple juice for her dinner, and she looked at it, she picked it up, she took a sip, and then she held it up and went, Well, they all started laughing, because you know who she was imitating. her dad when he got his glass of wine and held it up and looked at it, then took a sip and, you know, perfect. And so, you know, in this little story, we see how our children follow us, imitate us. But of course, it's not just our children. We follow each other. And we notice this maybe with our children as they become teenagers. You know, they start to follow their peers, maybe to our chagrin. But when we're following Jesus' voice, then we are learning the way God wants to guide us and direct us for life. Remember, life that is full, real, rich, better than we ever dreamed of. And so what we are there for, showing to our spouses, our children, our whoever we are with at work, to everyone around us, we're showing that kind of life to imitate. What are these words of Jesus? You know, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. We all struggle with that, but there it is. If we remember that, it's going to come to our mind, it's going to direct something about how we live. Do to others as you would have them do to you. There's another one, the golden rule that we try to absorb and keep right in our minds, the voice of Jesus speaking to us at various times. Jesus' voice teaches forgiveness, not revenge, mercy and grace, not retribution, an eye for an eye. He said, no, you've heard an eye for an eye. But that's not what God really wants. And so if you look at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 and read through it, it's Matthew 6, 7, part of 8, you will read a lot of Jesus' words of guidance and direction. Some of them we really should commit to memory. Jesus' words are not about fear, they're about trust. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. About God's faithfulness, as we sang today in the first hymn. We can hear all these voices around us. They give lots of suggestions for the problems of our world, our nation, our community, our personal lives. That's great. Some of them are really great voices. They lead to freedom. They're giving good advice, but we as Christians need to evaluate the voices we hear in light of the voice of our good shepherd. And is it congruent or not? Or is there a dissonance that we should take note of? Jesus calls us, even though we can stubbornly block out his voice, you know, we might be letting voices of blame take over in our minds, or voices that gave us destructive messages in our past and we cannot get rid of them. They keep coming up over and over. That voice of negativity or something that's wrong with you. Whereas God's voice is saying, you are my beloved child. You're precious to me. You know, all those voices are voices of thieves and bandits. They are the voices of thieves and bandits. And we do not want to follow them. Jesus continues to call and seek after us until we listen and receive the life that's real, more, better, freeing, eternal. There's no way to learn the voice of the Good Shepherd except by listening to it. I was visiting an elderly woman, quite ill, and she said to me, I could not get through one day if I didn't repeat, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I didn't tell her, oh, repeat Philippians 4:13, that'll help you get through the day. She knew it because she knew the resources, the spiritual resources. And so you and I too can align ourselves with the voice of Jesus. We can let Jesus lead. We can listen we can follow and obey, just like loving parents hope that their caring and guiding voices will be heard by their children throughout their life. So God is hoping and praying. Jesus is praying for us even now that we will hear God's caring and affirming voice guiding us and telling us of our worth throughout life, leading us to real life, more life, better life, eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, open our ears that we may hear voices of truth you send. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Let's stand and say what we believe using the affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.